Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 83 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
How we can help them get down there just with the money we raised.
Moorhead's Police Department raised money for the Special Olympics over the weekend.
A trial date has been set for a Lewis County man facing murder charges.
A Pike County teacher has been arrested for allegedly driving under the influence.
An official complaint has been filed against a city commissioner in Ashland.
St. Clair Healthcare is gearing up for its signature fundraising event.
In sports, Moorhead's baseball team is headed to the NCAA tournament this week.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Overcast with a 70% chance of thunderstorms. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
A trial date has been set for a Lewis County man accused of murder. The Maysville Ledger Independent reports 52-year-old Preston Walters of Garrison will appear in court for a pretrial hearing September 5th before his jury trial December 3rd. Walters is facing several charges in connection with the shooting death of Justin Johnson last March. His brother, 54-year-old Wince Walters, faces a series of charges in connection with the same event. He will be in court for a status hearing on July the 6th. Preston Walters told police he accidentally shot Johnson as he was attempting to shoot a deer. Officials say the trajectory of the shot didn't match his testimony. Walters remains in the Lewis County Detention Center.
The Martin County Sheriff's Department has arrested a woman after a 10-mile ATV chase. WYMT reports 20-year-old Taylor Cook of Winchester refused to pull over for an officer early Monday morning. She is charged with first-degree fleeing or evading police, operating a motor vehicle under the influence of alcohol, second-degree wanton endangerment of a police officer, operating an ATV on a roadway, and several traffic violations. Police say Cook had a female passenger. They say the chase reached speeds of 68 miles per hour.
Police in Montgomery County say a woman has been charged in the fatal shooting of a neighbor and the wounding of that neighbor's wife. Sheriff Fred Shortridge tells WKYT-TV that Francis Zayer is charged with murder, attempted murder, and first-degree burglary after Saturday's shooting near Mount Sterling. A coroner identified the victim as 47-year-old David Scott. Shortridge says Scott's wife was taken to the University of Kentucky Hospital in critical condition. Shortridge notes that Zayer and the victims had been in a year-long dispute. Zayer is being held in the Powell County Detention Center.
A Johnson County man is behind bars, accused of shooting a gun towards his neighbor's house. According to WYMT, police say William Hensley was in his yard when he shot a high-caliber gun over a public roadway towards his neighbor's residence. Hensley told police he was shooting at a pop can in his backyard. Police confiscated two guns from his home. Hensley is charged with wanton endangerment and discharging a weapon across a public road.
A Pike County teacher has been arrested on DUI charges. WYMT reports Joshua Priest was pulled over Friday morning when an officer noticed he was not wearing a seat belt. Officials say the officer could smell marijuana coming from Priest's car. Kentucky State Police searched the vehicle and found a mason jar with marijuana inside. Priest, a tenured social studies teacher at Pike Central High School, is charged with DUI first offense, possession of marijuana, and failure to wear seat belts, among other charges.
An official complaint has been filed against Ashland City Commissioner Mary Goot. WMKY's Kyle Blankenbuehler reports.
City resident Becky Miller filed the complaint on Friday with the Boyd County Clerks after recently claiming that Goot no longer resides in the city. According to the Daily Independent, Miller addressed the Ashland City Board of Commissions about the issue during the public comments portion of the meeting last Thursday. Miller told the board that Goot and his wife moved out of their home on Crest Street to a residence in Mount Sterling around January or February. Goot denied Miller's allegations, explaining that he did purchase a home in the Mount Sterling area as a part-time residence, but maintained that his primary residence remains in Ashland, and he travels back and forth between his two homes. The complaint will go before a judge for a ruling. For WMKY, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at morehedstate.edu/innovation.
The Morehead Police Department's weekend fundraiser was a success. Teams of 10 people, who each paid $15 to participate, competed to see how fast they could pull the MPD's one-ton rescue vehicle a certain distance. Captain Kyle Callahan says the event went well.
We ended up having 15 teams, and as far as the money situation, we raised over $2,000, and that $2,000 is going to go straight to the Round County Special Olympics for their trip to the Special Olympic Games.
The National Special Olympic Summer Games will be held July 1st through the 6th in Seattle. Callahan says while it was Chief Derek Blevins' idea for the truck pull, Traffic Enforcement Officer and Dispatcher Kim Fannin deserves the credit for organizing the event and keeping everything on track.
Morehead has contracted with the Lexington Consulting Firm as it plans for the so-called last mile of the Kentucky Wired Project. Created in 2015 by Congressman Hal Rogers, the goal of the $324 million Kentucky Wired Initiative is to have high-speed broadband service available in every part of the state. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says Morehead should get its hookup next year. He notes the city is working with the Celerity Group to plan for the project's last mile.
Kentucky Wire's working on the middle mile that'll bring high-speed broadband to each community in Kentucky. It's that community's goal then. It's their responsibility to take it out and use it however they see fit. Right now, we've done everything we can do. We've done all of our homework. It's time to put a plan in place. We are coming to them as consultants to help us with the plan.
Celerity is also working with Richmond and Lexington to plan for their connections into the Kentucky Wired effort.
The Foundation for St. Clair Healthcare in Morehead is preparing to hold its annual signature fundraising event. Rockin' and Rollin' on Railroad Street is slated for June 15th at the Morehead Conference Center. The event will feature a meal and dancing with music provided by the 70s, 80s, and 90s cover band Flashback. Foundation Executive Director Tom Lewis hopes it will bring in between $12,000 to $15,000.
As we try to put together a rehabilitation gym and a more practical kind of day-to-day chores type area, kitchen type area, things like that, where rehab patients can get some of that assistance as they rehabilitate and get ready to be more independent once again once they're able to leave St. Clair.
Tickets are $100 per person, with full tables also available. For more information, call 783-6512.
Changes are coming to Kentucky's Call Before You Dig law. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has more.
Senate Bill 104 gives the PSC the ability to enforce existing provisions in Kentucky statutes intended to prevent damage on natural gas and hazardous liquid pipelines. Beginning July 14th, the Kentucky Public Service Commission will be able to investigate excavation damages to natural gas and hazardous liquid lines to determine whether Kentucky's Call Before You Dig law has been violated. A change to the law allows the PSC to impose monetary penalties if violations are uncovered. It is currently required by law to call Kentucky's statewide 811 service 2 working days before beginning excavations. Penalties will include $1,250 for the first violation, $2,000 for a second violation, and $4,000 for any subsequent violations. For WMKY News, I'm Logan Pemberton.
The National Association for Science Teachers has recognized a Robertson County School science teacher. Cheyenne Cowan won the Kentucky Outstanding Earth Science Teacher for 2018. She says it's not an easy job.
I stay very involved with my kids in the classroom, but also outside of the classroom. And I really think that being an exceptional, inspiring teacher, you have to know these kids, not just the Monday through Friday, 8 to 3, and for whatever class they come to you in, but you need to know them for who they are and who their family is and when they need a shoulder to cry on.
Cowan teaches 6th through the 12th grade at RCS. She also won the Valvoline Teacher Award.
It's not uncommon to have this much rain for this time of year. Kentucky is just seeing an extended stretch of precipitation. That's according to Kevin Sullivan with the National Weather Service. While several area counties have seen heavy rains and flash floods over these last few weeks, Sullivan says there hasn't been much damage as a result. He explains why the state is getting so much rain.
We've just been in an active pattern. We've been really warm. We had one of our warmer months of May that we've ever had for much of the state, actually. That's allowed more moisture to be transported northward, and it allows more of that unsettled weather pattern to set up. That kind of keeps us unsettled and damp and wet.
When flooding occurs, Sullivan urges motorists to be cautious and not try to cross a road that's covered in water. Turn around and take a different route if possible. Although it may look relatively safe, it could be deceivingly deep and lead to losing your car or even your life. Sullivan says, follow the old adage, turn around, don't drown.
Finance specialists in Kentucky are offering guidance to survivors of domestic violence. The Allstate Foundation is partnering with the Kentucky Coalition Against Domestic Violence to offer finance education classes at shelters around the Commonwealth. Shelters are also eligible for a grant for additional services. Stacy Walden is with the Women's Crisis Center in Northern Kentucky. She says her shelter will launch a new program.
We're going to be creating this Mommy and Me series for the summer of a camp that kind of focuses on fun summer activities that they normally wouldn't be able to afford, and also looking at risk and protective factors of how do we prevent these children from experiencing violence.
Walden says the classes will provide skills for individuals to be financially independent after leaving an abuser.
Taking a quick look at your local weather forecast for the week. Tonight, overcast with a 30% chance of thunderstorms, lows near 71. Tomorrow morning, thunderstorms continuing throughout the morning, the high near 83. Tomorrow night, a 60% chance of scattered thunderstorms, lows around 70 degrees. Thursday morning, an 80% chance of thunderstorms, highs near 84. And Thursday night, scattered evening thunderstorms with clouds overnight, lows near 70 degrees. Current temperatures are 82 degrees in Flemingsburg, 83 degrees in Lexington, 85 degrees in Ashland, 81 degrees in Winchester, 83 degrees in Inez, and 82 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, tours were given throughout Fleming County last week to showcase the county's various covered bridges. WMKY's Logan Pemberton has the story.
I think it was a great success. I think it showcased all the familiar things that people take for granted in the county.
With three of the 12 remaining covered bridges in the state, Fleming County is considered the covered bridge capital of the Commonwealth. Last Saturday, the county provided tours for the public to learn about the history of Fleming County and the significance of covered bridges. Melanie Jones is with the Fleming County Chamber of Commerce and was one of the tour guides during Saturday's events.
Not only did we go to the three covered bridges that are in the county, we also toured Abner's Mill Chapel along with the Franklin Sousley Monument, and we went to the Poston one-room schoolhouse and ended the day at the Covered Bridge Museum.
The title of the tours given was Bridges and Beyond, to allow some focus on other aspects and histories of Fleming County, beginning with a recently completed chapel.
We went to Abner's Mill first. Abner's Mill Chapel is new. It was completed in 2016. For all those people who are fans of the television show Barnwood Builders, Johnny Jett is from Fleming County, and they moved the stained glass windows out of the Ewing Methodist Church in Fleming County and transported them over there to complete the chapel.
After viewing the chapel, the group visited the Franklin Sousley Memorial. Sousley, a native of Fleming County, was one of the six Marines involved in raising the American flag on the island of Iwo Jima during World War II.
The second stop was at the Franklin Sousley Memorial, and it's just every Fleming Countyan should have pride in the fact that one of the flag raisers from Iwo Jima came from this area. So it was a great piece of history to learn about, you know, our very own Marine and his life.
After visiting the memorial, the tour began viewing the bridges.
So from there, we went to all three bridges, started with Grange City, and then to Ringo's. Grange City and Ringo's Mill are what we kind of refer to as twin bridges, built both over the Fox Creek in the same manner, so people got to tour both of them. Those are both closed to vehicle traffic, but open to pedestrians for sightseeing.
Once finished, the group moved to the most famous of the three covered bridges in Fleming County.
We followed that up by going to the Goddard White. It has been renovated. It is open to traffic. You can drive or walk across it either way. It is, if I'm correct, the only standing bridge in the state with the Athelia lattice-style framework. It definitely is the most photographed covered bridge in the state.
After visiting each of the bridges, the tour visited a one-room schoolhouse as well as the Fleming County Covered Bridge Museum. Jones takes pride in the history of her home and says it's something that other locals across the state should appreciate more often.
But whatever county that you live in, I think that you need to take advantage of what's around you and not overlook it. Local people take what's available in their area for granted, and they don't realize how important that history is or how fortunate they are to have access to that history.
The group hopes to host more tours later in the year. For WMKY, I'm Logan Pemberton.
It's 446 and 24 degrees, or rather 82 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, and Cody Robinson and I are coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studios here in Breckenridge Hall. Braxton Howard has sports right after this.
Support for programming on Morehead State Public Radio comes from Prevent Child Abuse Kentucky. 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys are sexually abused before their 18th birthday, and 88% of cases are never reported. Every adult can take responsibility to protect children by learning to reduce risk, how to intervene, and where to report at pcaky.org, funded in part by a grant from the Child Victims Trust Fund.
MSU goes dancing. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are preparing for the NCAA baseball tournament. The Eagles will face the fifth-ranked host team on Friday as part of the Clemson Regional. Coach Mike McGuire's MSU ball club earned its way to the big dance for the second time in the last 4 years with a 4-3 win Sunday over 18th-ranked Tennessee Tech in the championship game of the OVC tournament.
Well, I can tell you we're excited to keep playing. I love coaching this group. I didn't want to see it come to an end, so we get to keep playing.
The 37-23 Eagles face Clemson Friday at 6 p.m. The other two teams facing off that day in the regional are Vanderbilt and St. John's. The Round County baseball team keeps rolling. After claiming their fifth straight 61st district title last week, the Vikings won their 16th region opener Monday in Grayson, blasting Ashland Blazer 8-0 behind pitcher A.J. Hacker's home run and 11 strikeouts. Coach Scott Collins says the 29-6 Vikings believe in themselves and they're mentally tough.
For what the kids have been through, you know, their resilience, they come out focused every day. So, you know, they knew coming in that they were going to have a target on their back, you know, from last year. But every one of them stepped up and, they've done their jobs and produced well for us.
Round will face Russell tomorrow at 5:30 in semifinal action. The 16th region first round will be completed with 2 games this evening. West Carter challenges powerful Greenup County at 5:30. Coach Greg Logan's Musketeers are 33-5 this season, and he calls that accomplishment a team effort.
I think it's just, everybody finds a way to make a contribution somehow, some way, and seems to have worked out 30-some ball games. So, it seems, I would say that's been a part of it. It's not been one guy, two guys carrying us. It's been everybody's had a hand in it.
In tonight's late game, Boyd County tangles with Bath County. The first round of the 16th Region softball tournament wrapped up today after rain delayed the games yesterday. In the first game, Boyd County beat Elliott County 9-0. Then Russell ended Round County season with a 5-2 win. Round finishes the season with a 19-7 overall record. In semifinal play tomorrow, East Carter will battle host Raceland, and Boyd County will face off with Russell. The Cincinnati Reds are back in Arizona tonight at 9:40 to meet the Diamondbacks again. The Reds were belted by the D-backs yesterday 12-5. It was another tough day for starter Homer Bailey, who lasted just 4 innings, allowing 8 runs, including 6 earned, and seeing his record fall to 1-7, despite a horrible month of May in which his ERA was 9.8. Bailey believes he can still get himself on the right track.
Yeah, like I said, I think we started our first, five games or so, pretty solid. But ever since, once it kind of started snowballing, it just keeps going down.
4-4 Luis Castillo will pitch tonight for the Reds. For a fourth straight year, Golden State will face Cleveland in the NBA's championship series. The Warriors earned that right last night, getting 34 points from Kevin Durant and scoring a 101-92 victory at home over Houston in Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals. Coach Steve Kerr's Golden State squad came back to win after trailing by 11 points at halftime.
Our talent took over. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, we've got three of the best shot makers in the league. They all got hot at different points of the second half and made great plays. And we did a great job defensively, too, in the second half. We stayed with it.
Steph Curry helped Golden State with 27 points last night, with Klay Thompson adding 19 more. The Warriors will host Cleveland in Game 1 of the Finals Thursday in Oakland. Kentucky basketball coach John Calipari says the NBA has become a futures league. WMKY's Chuck Mraz reports.
In Jerry Tipton's Sunday column in the Lexington Herald Leader, Calipari talked about how things are trending toward younger players in the NBA draft. The UK coach was quoted as saying the one-and-doners that his program has been pumping out for the past few years fit right in with what's happening with teams in the league, saying they're not drafting for what a player looks like now, but for what their potential says they'll become the next few years. He admits making those projections are a challenge for NBA scouts. As proof of what Coach Cal is saying, last year the first seven picks in the draft were freshmen, which set an NBA record. For WMKY Sports, I'm Chuck Mraz.
Some notes from the college basketball world. Tomorrow is the deadline for underclassmen who put their name in the NBA draft without hiring an agent to decide if they will remain in the draft or return to school. Kentucky will be waiting to hear from the decisions of P.J. Washington, Jared Vanderbilt, and Wenyen Gabriel. Also, Auburn will be without one of its star players as it defends its SEC regular season crown next season. All-SEC selection Mustafa Heron will reportedly return to college for his junior season but will transfer to another program. He averaged 16 points and 5 rebounds a game as a sophomore for the Tigers last season. And Villanova's Dante DiVincenzo will remain in the NBA draft. DiVincenzo was the Final Four's most outstanding player last season in helping lead Villanova to the national championship. Fairview High School has made some coaching changes. First, the Eagles have brought back longtime Fairview coach Rex Cooksey to lead the girls' basketball program once again. Cooksey, who led the boys' basketball program and football program during his 40-year coaching career, was the Lady Eagles' head man from 2012 to 2016, compiling a record of 41-63. Also, the Eagles have named longtime assistant Brett Cooksey, Rex's son, as its new head football coach, replacing Fred Ray, who resigned after four seasons. Cooksey is still finalizing his staff, but his dad Rex and brother Derek, who is the boys' basketball coach, are both expected to be on the staff. Finally in sports, a University of Kentucky football player facing drug trafficking charges has been kicked off the team. Haley Hansen reports on that.
The University of Kentucky released a statement confirming Coach Mark Stoops' decision to dismiss Marcus Walker from the team. The former defensive end was arrested and charged with trafficking marijuana and cocaine, along with a paraphernalia charge last week. Lexington police allegedly found 5 pounds of weed and an ounce of coke in his apartment. His arrest citation also says police found a large amount of cash and a money counter. Walker has since pled not guilty to the charges. I'm Haley Hansen.
That's a look at sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host a father-child camp on June 9th, an Eagle Day camp June 11th through the 14th, and Morehead State team camp June 22nd through the 24th. More information by calling the men's basketball office at 783-5140 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks sank amid political turmoil in Italy that sent the euro tumbling and ongoing difficult trade talks with China also not helping, and bank stocks in particular led today's decline. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 391.64 at 24,361.45. The S&P 500 was down 31.47 at 2689.86, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 37.26 at 7396.59. At its worst today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost more than 500 points, or 2%. And, of course, at this point, Tuesday's losses now mark the third straight trading session of negative numbers for both the Dow and S&P 500, both of which suffered their worst day on a percentage basis today since April 24th. Concerns about a global credit blight and anemic interest rates appeared to weigh in particular on U.S. financial stocks, and this sent shares of the nation's largest banks tumbling as Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, Citigroup, and Bank of America all lost more than 3%. And the financial select sector SPDR exchange-traded fund was down 3.5% and is now below its 200-day moving average. The risk-off attitude fueled demand for safer asset classes, including U.S. Treasuries. The rate on the U.S. 10-year note fell to 2.77% as bond prices rose, and this is, of course, down from highs above 3.1% in recent weeks. Overseas, the Stoxx Europe 600 index was down 1.4%, weighed down by a 2.6% drop in Italy's Financial Times MIB index, as well as a 2.5% decline in Spain's IBEX 35 index. The Euro Stoxx Banks index itself was down 4.4% and on pace for its worst day since August 2, 2016. Morgan Stanley clinched its worst day since June of 2016, finishing down almost 6%. The slide in the company's stock occurred after an executive said that more challenging business conditions were apparent in the second quarter for its wealth management division, and obviously this could have a real impact on earnings. In the commodities markets, West Texas Intermediate oil was down 1.5%, finishing at $66.82 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,299.50 an ounce. And as mentioned, overseas in Europe, stocks were weak with a loss of almost 1.4% for the Stoxx 600 index. And in the Far East, stocks were weak as well. The Nikkei was down 0.5%, and Hong Kong's Hang Seng index was down 1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Coca-Cola and Pfizer, while the worst performers were J.P. Morgan and Goldman Sachs. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Align Technology and Applied Materials, while the worst performers were BorgWarner and Morgan Stanley. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down $1.15 at $77.87, Marathon Petroleum up 61 cents at $77.61, AEP up 41 cents at $67.63, CSX down 46 cents at $64.22, AK Steel down 5 cents at $4.41, and U.S. Bancorp is down $1.68, finishing at $48.86. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one- and two-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Taking another look at your weather forecast for the week. Tonight, overcast with a 30% chance of thunderstorms, lows of 71. Tomorrow morning, thunderstorms continuing throughout the morning and a high of 83. Tomorrow night, a 60% chance of scattered thunderstorms, lows around 70 degrees. Thursday morning, an 80% chance of thunderstorms, highs near 84. Thursday night, scattered evening thunderstorms with clouds overnight, lows of 70. Friday morning, more thunderstorms at a high of 85. And Friday night, a 40% chance of rain with cloudy skies later, a low of 66 degrees.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, currently on display at the Rowan County Arts Center is an exhibit called A Day in the Life, Perceptions and Expressions of Mental Illness. The exhibit is on display weekdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. through this Friday, June 1st. Admission is free and the community is invited.
Rowan County Schools and St. Clair Healthcare will offer free sports physicals to students in grades 2 through 12 at the Rowan County Senior High School from 8 a.m. until 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, June 2nd. Students under the age of 18 must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. More information at 784-8928.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Jacob Lindberg, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Chaz Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, and Braxton Howard. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Logan Pemberton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.